Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. I'm Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. What Healthy Alternatives is about, most of us really want to reach optimum levels of health and wellness. We want to feel better, live long, and enjoy life even more. And that's what I attempt to bring you on each of the Healthy Alternatives shows. My guest I'm going to be talking to a little bit later today is Alex Doman. He's founder and CEO of Advanced Brain Technologies and the best-selling author of Healing at the Speed of Sound. His career is focused in on sound and music and technology and the capacity it has to improve both brain health and our performance. We're going to be talking to him about this and exploring this concept in a lot of depth as to how sound affects your lives and what you can do to make it even better. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue of concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. What I want to talk about this week is the rate of childhood asthma because it's become epidemic. The question becomes, why? Is it pollution in the air, chemicals in the body, dust mites, mold? Well, could be, but there seems to be something in our medicine chests that are causing the problem. And what it is, acetaminophen, pain reliever and fever reducer that's in your first aid kits. Now, the notion of acetaminophen being a problem started when doctors noticed a spike in asthma rates began in the 1980s, just around the time that aspirin was linked to Reye's syndrome in children. So doctors starting to advise parents to use acetaminophen instead for pain relief and fever reduction. So there have been some 20 studies that all have seemed to support the idea, along with a theory, a solid theory, about how acetaminophen might promote asthma in young bodies. Recently published in the journal Pediatrics, Dr. John T. McBride, a pediatrician at Ohio's Akron Children's Hospital, said that the evidence is solid enough now for docs to advise parents of children who have asthma or are at risk of developing the condition to skip the acetaminophen. There's even been one randomized controlled study that's been done so far, and it found that kids who took acetaminophen for a fever were more than twice as likely to seek treatment for asthma later on versus those who took ibuprofen. So while it's not totally proven, it'd really be advisable for you to use acetaminophen very sparingly. Reserve it just for very high fevers and very serious pain, because the problem with acetaminophen could wind up being an asthma problem. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I do a free monthly e-newsletter called The Teplitz Report. It's on teplitz.com. You can click the Home About button. You can sign up there. It's health, nutrition, wellness oriented. Covers different things than I tend to talk about on Healthy Alternatives. Every week, I also like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. The newest discoveries, the latest information about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, family, and loved ones. This is sort of a breakthrough. I want to talk to you about Aurora Organic Dairy. It's a giant factory farm based in Colorado, and it's been sued for not producing milk that it claimed was organic and it turns out it was not. There was a plaintiff's class action consumer fraud suit against them, and it was for $7.5 million, and the plaintiffs won. The lawsuit was brought on behalf of consumers in more than 30 states who felt that they had been defrauded by purchasing this private or labeled organic milk at places like Walmart, Costco, Target, Safeway that Aurora was selling. See, Aurora first gained notoriety in 2005 when the Cornucopia Institute filed a formal legal complaint with the USDA alleging it produced its milk in giant feedlots, confining as many as 4,400 milk cows, instead of doing what you have to do by organic standards, graze the cows on grass. So, Cornucopia's first complaint was summarily dismissed by the USDA. The second complaint led the federal regulators to find not only had Aurora willfully violated pasture requirements, but also used non-organic subcontractors and legally brought conventional cows into their organic operations. However, the USDA allowed Aurora to continue the operations without even having to pay a cent of fines for doing that. So they went to court, the plaintiffs, and the settlement they wound up with was $7.5 million, so that it's really a statement that there are companies out there that are deceitful. You can't trust the USDA to do anything about them, but you can find organizations like the Cornucopia Institute, which is willing to do something. By the way, Cornucopia said that about 90% of all organic milk brands do meet the letter of the law and consumer expectations. So there are folks out there, many, many folks who are legitimate. Don't let stop you from buying organic milk. And now Aurora Organic Dairy is not going to be one of those. Before I bring on my guest, Alex Doman, what I'd like to do is ask you a favor. I've asked this in several shows, and that's to help me promote Healthy Alternatives to your friends, families, coworkers. Send an email, tweet them, put it on your Facebook. Please get the word out if you're enjoying what you're learning on the show to help build our audience even more. My guest today is Alex Doman. Alex is founder and CEO of Advanced Brain Technologies and the best-selling author of Healing at the Speed of Sound. He has focused his career on sound, music, and technology and their capacity to improve brain health and performance. His credits include co-producer of Music for Healing at the Speed of Sound, Music for Babies. He's been executive producer, creator, or collaborator on more than 50 other albums and products. He's been interviewed extensively on Sound Brain Fitness Music. He's been on NPR, NBC, Marketplace, Wall Street Journal, and many others. And he lectures internationally and has trained thousands of allied health, education, and music professionals in brain-based applications of sound and music. And Alex, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you, Jerry. Pleasure to be here.
So let me begin by, how did you get into the sound field to begin with?
Well, I came into actually the brain development field first, and that was through my family, who has been involved in creating brain training and rehabilitation programs for children and adults for over 70 years now. So I grew up in the brain business, and when I got involved in the family work over 20 years ago, I had a deep interest in sound and methodologies that could improve health, performance, and education through using music and very specialized technology to improve brain performance through sound. So that's in short how I got into it. So it was through my family.
So your family was into using music as well, and you just took it further, or you just branched in a different direction from
exactly.
From
exactly.
Which one?
Well, both.
Okay.
I started. That's why it's exactly.
Okay.
Working with my father at his organization, the National Association for Child Development, where I became executive director back in 1993. And we were, using various sound programs in the rehabilitation of children with brain injury and kids with autism, kids with learning and attentional challenges, and they began developing new methods and new techniques. And it was through NACD that I actually incubated Advanced Brain Technologies and then branched out with that organization, which I founded in 1998 to do the work we're presently doing. So it was with and a growing to a new level with as well.
Great. Now, how important is sound in people's lives?
I'm so glad you asked that question, Jerry. The brain is wired for sound. Sound is the first sense to develop in the human brain. At 16 to 20 weeks in utero, the fetal child is hearing the sound of the womb and external sounds in the environment. And our first form of learning takes place in utero through sound. We're surrounded by sound 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Our brain is being informed about what's happening in our environment by the sounds that are around us. It's telling us if we're safe or if we're in danger. Sounds largely how we communicate. So it's really one of the most essential aspects to the human experience is how we hear and how we convey ourselves through our voice, which is sound.
And from the research that I've seen on sound, that it's important when people are aging and losing sound abilities, that it really impacts the quality of their life.
Well, it certainly does. I mean, our ears are very much our windows to the world and what inform us about what's happening around us. And as we age, by the time we're 65, the bad news is, Jerry, for us men, one in three of us will have had a significant hearing loss. And by 85, 50% of us will have. And, accompanying that hearing loss, the age-related hearing loss called presbycusis, are often high incidence of depression and low energy. So, the ear is very much a battery to the brain and a source of energy in our life. So when we lose that hearing, we can tend to really disconnect and go into depressive states.
So for your latest book, Healing at the Speed of Sound, which is a real cute title, by the way, so that means you're healing at, 650 feet a second or whatever it is. Anyway, what's the story behind the book?
Well, back in 2006, I was presenting at the Mozart and Science Congress in Baden, Austria, just outside of Vienna. And at this conference, another gentleman was presenting by the name of Don Campbell. Now, Don, many people will know from his best-selling work, The Mozart Effect, which, popularized the idea that sound can be used more than for entertainment, but that it's a really important element, music, in health and education and creativity. So Don and I, who had both been in the field for a long time, Don quite a bit longer than myself, started a conversation. We met for the first time. We had a couple of meals together and talked about our mutual interests in work, and those conversations went on for a couple of years, and he proposed the idea, the book title, the clever title, Healing at the Speed of Sound, and asked me if I'd be interested in writing this book with him. And we went on a three-year journey of deep research and writing and exploration and conversation about how we bring forward to the public this idea that sound is the unrecognized pillar of our health. And we wanted to give people access to information on how to use music, how to use sound, and how to use challenge, how to use silence to change how they feel, heal, and learn. So that's what really led us to write the book.
So you were talking about sound being one of the pillars of health. Can you talk a little bit more about when the pillar is crumbling and getting holes in it?
Well, that's a great analogy, because often we start out our lives impacted by noise in our environment, and that's one of the greatest contributors to breaking down our health, is this very toxic, continuous influence of noise in the environment, and it has a really adverse impact on our health. So much so that in a 2011 World Health Organization report, they had done an epidemiological study on the impact of noise on health of European citizens. And their findings were startling, and that is that noise is the second leading cause of environmental ill health in Europe. It is a leading cause of stress, of sleep loss, and in some cases, actually, a noise-induced cardiac arrest, which leads to an estimated 3,000 deaths in Europe a year. So noise kills. It doesn't just impact our health. You know, we look at, you know, this noise is created by man. Noise is not made by nature. Noise is made by man. So as we become more populated and the world becomes busier and we have more technology, we're in fact creating more noise. So we've got a real serious health epidemic that we all need to be attuned to.
Do you focus at all on the kind of what I call the silent noise, which is all the Wi-Fis and cell phone towers and all of that? Is that an aspect that you're focusing in at all when you're talking about the impact? Because that's kind of it's a noise that our bodies potentially hear, but it's a silent noise.
Well, I think when you speak to silent noise, we're talking about vibration, and every device sends a vibration, whether it's audible or not. Our body is sensing it. In fact, our body can pick up on sound waves as subtle as 10 cycles per second to 100,000 cycles per second. So we're talking about a great range of sensitivity. And, you know, I am personally very conscious of the effect, for example, of our electromagnetic field. When my 2.5-year-old son was very young, you know, we wouldn't let a cell phone or an iPad anywhere near him, and we'd actually use EMF clearing technology to help reduce the electrical output of these devices. So it's something that we're aware of, and I think the public at large should be, you know, attuning to more and more.
So who's going to be benefiting from music and its impact then?
Everybody. You know, music is a biological fact of human life. It's something that's intrinsic within each of us. You know, we each instinctively go to music. We go to music to help relax, to improve our performance when we exercise, to help heal when we're ill, to worship, to grieve when we lose somebody, and to celebrate at a party. So, you know, it's something that, you know, it's like we wouldn't be man without music. There's no known cultures in humanity without music. Music has existed since the origin of man. We each hold within us a powerful instrument, which is this incredible healing power of our human voice. So in short, each one of us benefits from music.
It's interesting, because even monastery-type groups where they're in silence, they get everybody together and they sing.
They chant,
yeah.
And there's an incredible power and restoring, healing power in that voice, in that chant that the monks do.
So before we continue, I'd like to remind you, you listen to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net, and we'll be back with my guest, Alex Doman, in just a moment.
Have I got an offer for you? If you're involved with sales, my Switched On Selling DVD album with Dr. Tony Alessandro, a sales guru, is normally available at a much higher price. It's got 6 DVDs, 4 of them are the actual live Switched On Selling seminar. 2 are by Dr. Tony Alessandro talking about sales techniques. It comes with a workbook. It comes with the Switched On Selling book that went to number 1 bestseller on Amazon. You can get all of this at the special price, instead of $299, it's $199 to Healthy Alternatives listeners, but you need to call my office to order it. That's 800-77 and the word relax. That's 800-77 and then the word relax.
So my guest today is Alex Doman. He is founder and CEO of Advanced Brain Technologies and the best-selling author of Healing at the Speed of Sound. He's focused in his career on music and sound and technology and their capacity to improve brain health and performance. He's co-authored and he's been the producer of and collaborated on more than 50 music albums, including music for Healing at the Speed of Sound and music for babies. And he's been interviewed extensively on NBC, NPR, Marketplace, Wall Street Journal. And so we're talking about the influence of sound in people's lives. And so, Alex, what kind of music can be helpful to somebody?
You know, that's a great question, because there is a place for all music. So it is, you know, often people think, well, classical music, you know, is the only music that's healthy for us, and rap and hip-hop is bad for us. And I want to dispel any of those notions, that there really is a place for all music, and what is right for you is what's right. In Healing at the Speed of Sound, one of the things that we've done is help you not think so much about the style of music you're listening to, but those elements within the music that have effects on our body and on our brain. So let me break down something really quickly. Is to break music into three gears, to think about your current music playlists and to classify your music in these three ways. First gear consists of low sounds, so these are more bass sounds with low frequency music, and these low frequency sounds are very, very good for slowing body rhythms, so you listen to low frequency sounds at slower tempos, below 60 beats per minute. Those are calming, regenerating, and organizing to the brain and the body. Second gear, these mid to high frequency.
Hold on, Alex. What would be an example of something low gear?
Well, think of, for example, if you've ever had a massage and the music that's being played when you're on the massage table.
Okay.
This music tends to not have a lot of melody in it, so it's quite simple in its organization and its arrangement, has a peaceful, tranquil quality to it. It slows breath rate. It slows heart rate, has nice pauses between notes. So that would be an example of something that would be first gear.
Great. And second?
Second gear, you're going to mid and high frequency sounds, more of a moderate tempo of 50 to 90 beats per minute, and that's more Baroque music. So Bach, Vivaldi, for example, fits into this category, and this is the kind of music that's going to help you focus on a task and get you in an optimal state of what I call body relaxed and mind alert. One piece of music I like in particular for second gear is the Spring Movement from Vivaldi's Four Seasons, as an example. Then in third gear, these are wide frequency range pieces of music with faster tempos, 50 to 90 beats per minute. A lot of pop and rock music falls into this category. What I really like is this very fast rhythmic acoustic guitar of a guitar duo named Rodrigo and Gabriela. And this is something that gives vitality and energy to get your mood and energy levels up. So, you know, think about categorizing your music into zone one, you know, what feels right for you to chill. Zone two, what feels right to focus. And zone three, what gives you energy and makes you happy.
Where would easy listening pop kind of music fall on the scale? Would that be in gear two?
Well, easy listening pop music falls into gear two, but one of the challenges is, and that's if you know the music well and you know the lyrics by heart and don't focus on the lyrical elements of the music, it can be quite good, but if it's unfamiliar and you're attuning to those lyrics, it can actually become distracting. So I really like instrumental music for that second zone.
Okay, good. Now, talk a little bit about kids today and their iPhones and their MP3 players and the iPads and earbuds, and what's that doing?
Well, having a 16 and 12-year-old at home, I'm living with a tween and a teen and dealing with this parenting challenge every day. You know, now that we have these small portable devices that hold hundreds of albums of music with long battery life, kids are listening longer and more frequently to music than they ever have before. So it's wonderful that we have access to so much wonderful music all of the time. But what tends to be happening is the kids are listening too loud, too long. And that's creating a new phenomenon, which is music-induced hearing loss, where we are actually seeing teenagers and young 20-somethings getting fitted with hearing aids because of the damage they've done to their hearing by listening through these earbuds too loud, too long. So we've actually got a real health crisis there as well. It's an estimated 1 in 6 teenagers in America today already have symptoms of hearing loss.
And that number's probably going to go up.
That number's going to go up.
Now, is there such a thing as safe listening using earbuds?
Absolutely. You know, ideally, I'd like to see somebody using headphones that cover the ear. It's a more natural experience. When you insert something into the ear, it naturally amplifies the sound level. But as a general guideline, don't listen longer than 1 hour at a time, and the volume should never be painful or uncomfortable.
So if you listen for an hour, when can you come back and listen again?
Give your ears a rest for an hour. So think of an hour on, hour off rule.
Okay, so they can still listen a bunch, but it's not constant.
Give the ears a rest and keep the volume low.
Keep the volume low, great. And are there some people who actually need silence?
Well, we all need periods of silence. Some people need more than others. And, you know, silence is elusive, but quiet is something that we can find to rest our ears, to rest our mind, and to rest our body. So one thing that I really recommend for people is that you take 5 minutes in the morning at the start of your day, 5 minutes mid-morning if you can, mid-afternoon, and at the end of the day. So, you know, take 20 minutes in 5-minute intervals throughout your day to find a quiet place, to meditate, to find quiet within yourself, and to replenish and take a break from all the noise and the sound that's around you. And whenever possible, take opportunities to be in nature with wind, water, and birds, and just regroup.
Some people may have to use noise-canceling headphones to get silence even for that 5 minutes, I think.
Well, they do, and that's not a bad way to go. You know, if people are in the workplace and the only place they can find that quiet is to go into the parking lot and sit in their car for a little bit of quiet, I'll recommend that. It's going to sound funny, but if the bathroom's unoccupied, find 5 minutes in a toilet stall just to yourself and find some quiet. Wherever you can find the respite, find it, but it's important to find it.
Now, I remember reading a study a long time ago where they had people, let's say they came in and they were tired at the end of a day, that they would play music, or if they were hyperactive or something, they'd play music to match where they were at before they moved them to another level, because if they were real tired and they played them real upbeat music, it was like too much if they didn't have the kind of transition up or down. Is that something you found as well?
Yeah, it's true. And in fact, there's a name for that. It's the ISO principle. So it's the process of moving gradually from one tempo or rhythm to another. So, you know, if you, for example, have a child that's really hyperactive and amped up, and you try to play them really slow, grounding music, it's too much of a mismatch, and in fact, it's probably going to create agitation. So ideally, what you want to do is find some music that's matching their current rhythm and activity. Then, through the process of entrainment, begin to gradually bring them down. So that's a really important process to employ, especially, for example, for school teachers that are transitioning kids from one activity to another. match where they're at, and then gradually bring them down or gradually bring them back up in a entrainment process.
Can you also talk a little bit about another one or two ways that people can increase their productivity in the workplace by using sound and music?
Well, there's a few ways that we can enhance productivity while we're working. So one is to use music that enhances your work performance. So again, that goes to the entrainment process. If you're doing something that takes a higher level of activity, use faster tempo third gear music. Something that requires real focus and attention, use that second gear Baroque music. And if you're preparing for a stressful situation, maybe it's an interview, maybe it's a meeting, drop down into that first gear and find some calm and find some quiet to get yourself mentally prepared. Savor some silence. Find periods in the day, that 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the afternoon to take a break. That'll help improve productivity. Something I find really effective is to tackle your tough tasks in quieter moments in the office. So, you know, if everybody tends to go to lunch at the same time, choose to take your lunch later. Stagger it, and you do really tough tasks when the office is quiet or come in a little bit earlier than everybody. And to really be self-aware, be aware of your contribution to noise in the environment, and make sure that you're not impacting others' productivity by being too loud or playing music loudly that's going to be intrusive.
So if listeners want to pursue this further, I know they can go to your site, advancedbrain.com. That's advancedbrain.com. Can you just very quickly tell us what some of the things that they'll find available there?
You bet. At advancedbrain.com, you're going to find resources in terms of books, listening materials, research on music effects research, and understand the work that we do, which is really to improve people's sound brain fitness, to find health through music, sound, and silence. We offer professional training programs for healthcare and educational professionals to use music and sound in their clinical or educational practices, and provide tools and resources for everybody to improve their life through sound.
So, Alex, thank you for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Thanks for having me, Jerry. It was my pleasure.
My guest next week is going to be John Thorpe. 25 years ago, John was a successful stuntman for shows like Hawaii Five-O, Magnum P.I. He shattered all the bones in his right leg, a bit of overstunting, so to speak, and he was told he would require total knee replacement if he was ever to even walk again without the use of a cane. He decided against surgery and explored alternative treatments of electroacuscope and MyoPulse. Today, he not only walks, but he runs pain-free, his leg completely rehabilitated. He's taken what he's experienced. He's the founder of the Thorpe Institute of Integrative Medicine, and he's become one of the foremost authorities on using microcurrents to help people heal. So you're going to be learning about it, the implications, the applications. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.